Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 457, Called in One Hope. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, February 1st, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome, everybody. Today's a special day, and we're really looking forward to Sister Tanya stepping into a new, not really a new avenue of ministry, but just another step forward. Praise the Lord. So I want to open right now with a scripture to kind of set the stage for it, and then Sister Tanya's going to come up, and we're going to talk a little bit and share together, and then we'll have the ordination ceremony portion. So this is from Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. These are words from the Apostle Paul to his followers in the church in Ephesus. He says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of peace, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Verse 7 says, "But to each one of you, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts." And then skipping to verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and to a knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So when someone is called into the ministry, it's up to leadership, it's up to those around to recognize that call, but only God can do the calling. I've entitled this message that I'm speaking about here as Called in One Hope. Paul is exhorting those who are called into the ministry to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. We're all aware of ministries. Some have fallen, some have gone, some have come, some have gone. It's not an easy kind of thing to accept the calling of the Lord. People are subject to temptation, to trials, to tribulations and pressures, and all kinds of things. Especially the enemy doesn't like it when you step up to the plate and take that step of going into the ministry. But the Lord is faithful, and he is good, and he will help you, and he will bless you, and he will cover you. So we don't often preach about or talk about having a covering, but we have always, since we've been in the ministry, encouraged people to actually be licensed or ordained under the ministries where they are sitting, because it serves as a covering. You know, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So we've always encouraged people to be connected with those that they have relationship with. I know that in some denominations and some facets of church ministry, there's a lot of detachment, and maybe there's just a routine. You know, you do the studies, and then you go through, you get the diploma, and then you do the routine ordination or licensing, and then you get sent somewhere. But we've always encouraged people to stay connected with the local body. And we felt like ordaining through the local body is really, really a precious thing, because it provides a covering for the ministry. It provides protection. It provides prayer network. It provides those around you who are praying for and believing God with you. And so that's why, as a church, when we organized, we were also put in the right to ordain and call people into the ministry. So I'm going to actually ask Tanya to come up, and we're going to just chat for a little bit, because it's important to know when you recognize you were called. You know, we were talking just a little bit ago. Sometimes people know really early in life that that they're called into the ministry, and a lot of times, you know, we go through a process of trying to find that place, and it's a little bit of a tough process. So what's with you?
Well, as a child, 5 years old, I remember thinking, I want to be the pastor because I want to tell people about my Jesus. And I was told, you can't because you're a woman. So the desire got quenched very, very early in my life. As I went through life, I have always had a love of Jesus, always a love of Jesus. I raised my family going to church. I worked in a Christian school, but I was missing a piece, and that was the relationship with Jesus. So when I found that relationship a little over 10 years ago, I realized I have to find a church that will foster that. And it was a process finding this place, but God got me here. So since I've been here, I just knew I had more to do with Jesus. I don't want to answer everything at once, so.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So I remember you came into this meeting. It was like an informational meeting for Time to Revive when they came to the city in 2015. What were your thoughts about as you came into that meeting? Why were you there, and what were you thinking about?
Well, let me ask you, was that the pastor's meeting?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's God. You see, God knew my heart, and I was at a church that I was learning. I had been reading out of the Bible and just really growing there, but the pastor said, I have to have surgery, and there's this meeting that if somebody would just step up and go to, take notes for me. And I'm thinking in my heart, I would love to do that. Oh, my gosh. But I didn't say anything. And so Wednesday, when I saw him at Bible study, I said, Pastor, has somebody already claimed going for you? He said, no, I can't find anybody. I said, please, can I go? So I arrive in the basement of this church downtown, and I'm thinking, what am I getting myself into? And there's all these pastors and people, you know, and I'm sitting towards the back with my notepad ready to just be a secretary. And I just got so impacted what this ministry was about, that they were coming into Fort Wayne to share the love of Christ, to teach people how to go share the gospel. And I'm like, I gotta go. This is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I was so grateful. And I thank that pastor. He was in surgery that day and everything. I just was so thankful that the opportunity fell to me, and I didn't realize it was God.
Yeah, so in the days following then, Time to Revive did come, and we began to have the daily meetings, actually, for, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks, actually. I think from June through something in July, something like that. But in those days, then, every day you were coming to the meetings, and what were they talking about?
Well, the first day was a Monday, and I got up bright and early. But there's an enemy out there, and he told me I wasn't good enough to go. He told me I was too sick, I was too depressed, I wasn't a good enough person to go share the gospel. And I sat back down in my chair, and I believed him. So the first day marked off. I cried through the whole day. The next day I got up ready to go. I'm like, shut up, devil, I'm going. And in 6 days, Tuesday through Saturday, and into the next week, God changed my whole life. Those meetings were to take you out to teach you how to pray with people on the streets, but I got encountered. The very first day, I'm on a team, and I ended up being with the same people through the two teams of the day, and I encountered Jesus. I got encountered from those people. Those people came from other cities that had got on board and were sharing, and then that ball starts rolling, and I end up going to a lot of other cities and doing the same thing for people. It's an equipping ministry, and I needed equipped. And so, you know, in those 6 days, then I learned to pray with people. I learned to not be scared. I mean, I still was, my heart pounding, but I got to tell people about my Jesus. And since I had just met him on Tuesday, it was really great because it started to really change my life already instantly. Because once you know him personally, he's just not the guy on the cross. He's just not the king up there. Oh, he is your personal God. And once I found him like that, everything started to change. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And my husband, every night I'm like, please let me stay for the service tonight. I need this. Whatever they're doing, I need it. So every night I was worshiping and just encountering God in a way I'd never had before. Like, he's real. Like, wow, this is amazing. Somewhere about day Thursday, they said to me, you need inner healing. You need to go to, I said, where's healing? I need that. I had been sick at that time, 25 years maybe, depression, oppression, a mental, emotional, physical body, bad. I needed that healing. So I went into this session not knowing it was for my heart. And I ended up unloading and dropping all this stuff off in this girl's lap. And she lifted me up to Jesus. We lifted up those burdens together and I was free. So I went into that worship service totally wow, excited. And God did deliverance on me during that service because he came. And nobody touched me. Nobody did anything. But during the worship, there was a giant flag in the corner, the Lion of Judah. I have a little flag because everybody in the room, there's 5,000 people now. We all have flags. And we're just waving them. And they said, you know, stand up and start walking. And when I did, something just shot out of my belly. It just shot out of me. And it was hopelessness. It was oppression. It was sickness. It was a spirit of infirmity. Boom, gone. And I was like, oh, I can breathe. This is amazing. I love Jesus because he set me free. He delivered me from many years of torment, many, many years. And that last night, that Saturday night, I was just telling Pastor, I was going through my Bible memories, and in there is a piece of gum from 10 years ago. Okay, this piece of gum's in a nice piece of plastic. This little six-year-old boy, I stayed after and was talking to the painter. I was talking to all the ministry people. Just made this like whole new community of friends. This six-year-old runs up and gives me gum. And it changed my whole life because I met his mom and I met his brother and they had just lost their dad. And it just, this whole thing. But in that deliverance that happened, God filled me with his spirit of joy. And I ended up telling him a story because I was a preschool teacher. And we just laughed. And we stayed together till like 1 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot. They were flying back to Texas the next day. I don't know where they are today. I tried to find her on Facebook. Can't. But that little boy changed my life. Just so freely gave. And the Lord just said to me, freely you receive, freely you give. So that piece of gum was in my hand this morning, and I'm like, God, look how far you brought me in 10 years. Anyway, next.
So all through those encounters, though, there was some scary stuff. How come you weren't scared off when they said, like, everybody sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death? Why didn't that make you run?
Because I knew I was a sinful being. And yes, if everybody sins, then that's great news because I'm not special. I'm not different than anybody else. And so when they said that, they said death. And I'm thinking death as in my body. But no, it's really about your spirit. Your spirit is going to go somewhere. And if it goes to heaven with Jesus, wonderful life, the rest of your life. But if it goes to hell, it's torment. You think here is torment? There is torment. It's hot. It never stops. Your unquenchable thirst, on and on and on and on. I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. So, you know, when I learned sharing the gospel, those first two verses, these five verses changed my life, by the way. I was in church my whole life and never heard the gospel that way. Ever, ever, ever. And so when we got to the first two verses, I remember thinking, man, this is bad news. That's what we would tell people. Like, these first two, we're sharing hope, but these two are bad. But hey, the next three are really good. Mm-hmm. And it didn't scare me because I wanted everything Jesus had for me.
So you did get to the point where the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus and God's love for you, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And you began to see that impact many lives as you went out and talked to people. What was that like?
Well, because I'm a passionate person, and once I got free of that evil feeling in my heart and in my body, the joy of the Lord just took me. So I would bound up to people, say, guess what? I got good news for you. That really hasn't changed in 10 years, as you all know me. But seeing people say yes or no to even hearing is impactful, because I learned with every yes and with every no how to share the gospel. I learned from God how to do it. And at this point, let me make a plug for Kenny and Mary Beth back there, because they were walking with me. They were showing me what it was like to be evangelistic and to go in boldness and trust Jesus, that when I laid my hands on somebody, Jesus' hand was laid on them. And so I am grateful for their teachings in the beginning of my walk, because I was still at my other church and trying to figure out what to do. But when they told me to stop being so excited, I could not. And I said to the pastor, I'm so sorry to leave, but you know I cannot stop being excited, because this has changed my life. And I still connect with him every now and then and share what God has done. And I can't wait to tell him this day. But he was sorry that he had to tell me that, but that's what the church was saying. So I had to go. I had to find somewhere else, and it sure wasn't going to be this little house up the road. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, sure. Sure. So the point is, though, is that you got past the first verses, and then you got to the place where by grace you're saved through faith. Yes. It's a gift from God. It's not from works, lest anyone should boast. Yes. Sometimes people feel like, you know, if you just leave me alone, I'll let you alone. Don't bother me with your religion.
Yes.
But there's a message that Jesus loves you, and he does care about you, and by grace you can be saved.
Yes.
It is a wonderful gift from God.
It is. It is. And that verse right there, it's the fourth one on the wristband. It's blue, which is my favorite color. And it's faith. It talks about faith. And so by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of works, lest you boast. And so that's when I learned, as I shared over the years, that's where Catholics, that's where church, that's where religion stops. They cannot say 100% they're saved yet, because they don't know that. And that made me even more passionate, because I got past it. I got past it. I got past that it is by my works. It's not that. It's by grace, God's grace. It's undeserved. We don't deserve it. We're sinners. It already told me that in the first verse. But now this verse tells me that it's by his grace. And that's when I started learning the love of God. The love of God. The love of God. He is not that judgmental hellfire person that's been painted to us in movies and everywhere else. He's actually a loving God that said, I have some boundaries, but the boundaries are to keep you safe. The boundaries are to keep you well. The boundaries are to keep you healthy. And so when people say, I don't want to follow the rules of the Bible, do what you do. But God said to me, if you follow these things, your life's going to straighten up. And boy, my path got a whole lot straighter, a whole lot more complicated, less complicated, and it got a lot easier. I was just shocked. It's the opposite of what the world thinks. The world thinks that I don't want those rules, but those rules are just like your parents said, don't go putting your finger in a socket. Okay? That's what's going to keep you from getting electrocuted, Ben. That was the one thing Tim and I talked about when our kids were not born yet, was the one thing we would spank for. If they ever stuck their finger in an outlet, we was going to spank. And of course, Ben has to try these things. But anyways, God is so good. It's by his grace. And when we understand that, when we would explain that to people that were stuck in there, the question is that we always ask is, if Jesus was to walk up now and say, you ready to go? 0 to 100%, how sure are you you're going to go? And more times than not, the religious mindset says 75% to 80. I mean, it's a proven thing, right, Kenny? It's over and over and over, because they think they haven't gone to church enough. They think they haven't done enough Hail Marys. They think they haven't been in the confessional enough. But what does that verse say? By faith. Faith in who? Christ.
Amen.
That you're saved. It's nothing that you do. And so that verse changed my whole life. It made me realize I got to tell more people. If I didn't know it, how many more don't know it? That's why I bound up to people and act like a weirdo, but I've learned to hone it. Okay, now it's just wheelchairs and walkers that I bound upon. But you got to understand that they don't know. People don't know. We have experienced the change in our lives. We've experienced the love of God. And it changed everything for me. It changed my husband. It changed my family. It changed everything in our lives. Look at him shaking his head. He knows. But God did that. I didn't do it. All I did was get in the Word of God and start following what it said. Amen. And he changed my life. So sorry if I'm preaching now. It's my turn.
It's all right. It's all right. You're doing good. So the simplicity, though, of coming to that place is amazing, because after you realize it's by grace through faith, it's a gift, you just have to receive the gift. So you might as well finish it. How do you do that?
Well, we often paint a picture when we're sharing the gospel. If I was to buy the best boots in the world and wrap them up in a gift, you'd have to actually say, I received that gift. And then you'd have to open it. How many of you on Christmas morning are given 3 or 4 or 5 gifts and you don't open them? You just push them off to the corner? Not a one of you. You know it. You know it. You got to know what's inside. But God's love is a gift. It's a gift that only He can give. A love that you have never experienced can change your whole life. Even a person who sat in church every Sunday, made my kids go every Sunday. That's faithfulness, okay? That's a quality of God. But it isn't the relationship with God. And so that gift was presented to me as I was learning to share the gospel, and I opened it. I opened it, and I received the best gift of my life, which is that personal relationship. And those of you who know me as sharing the gospel, we're into it. We're sharing with passion, because He's changed everything. Everything. So
if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Yes. Could it be simpler?
No. It is so simple. Yeah. It was so simple. And to share it on the streets is really simple, because the Holy Spirit is my partner and He does the work. My heart's pounding. Well, not as much anymore, but it pounds when you go to a stranger and you say, can I share some good news with you? Your heart's pounding, but it's the Holy Spirit, and He's wanting to talk to them. He's wanting to share the good news with them, because most people, if they don't, they just keep their mouths quiet. They'll never know. They'll never encounter the love of God. That drives me, because, you know, the saying is, do you want to love somebody so much or walk by somebody so much they walk right off into hell? No, I don't want to be responsible for that. So as He calls me into this, I'm already doing the work, just so you know. This isn't like tomorrow's my first day of work. Already doing the work of what God has called me to do and telling people about the love of Jesus is what it's all about. However He chooses to use you to do it is what it's about. So we can do it from the phone when people call you and say, hey, can I say a prayer with you? You know, you can do it on the streets. You can do it at Walmart. It's so simple. These 5 verses changed my life.
Amen. So then, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new.
All things.
Your life can change.
Yes.
Your life can be transformed.
Yes.
And you can walk in the power of God, the anointing of God, and the blessing of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's the good news we were singing about a little while ago, that Jesus and Him crucified, and His resurrection power to transform lives is really the message, and it is the lifestyle and the purpose and the plan of God for everybody that's called into the ministry. So I have a few more scriptures to share. So if you want to sit down for a second, then I'll call you back up.
As long as you call me back up, good.
We'll pray over you. So from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, you see, we can recognize that people have a gifting and that they have a calling, but only God can give spiritual gifts. In Ephesians 4, it says, to each one, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So just by having Tanya come up here and talk to you a little bit, I think you could recognize that there's some gifting there. There's some ministry there. There's something inside of her that's not the ordinary, just plain person that can't share or can't talk or can't minister to somebody. Obviously, experience and teaching and training can help those things, but only God can put that inside of you. And if it's not inside of you and it's not real, it's not going to be effective, and it's not going to touch lives or change lives either. So what can we see? Well, Timothy was a young pastor that Paul wrote this letter to. He said, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all the believers of what you say and in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that you've received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So in that message, he's saying, don't let anybody intimidate you. So she's speaking about being a woman. Sometimes it's intimidating because there are a lot of places that don't let women minister. My Bible says there's neither male nor female. So it's not about gender. And by the way, Tanya's not usurping authority over anybody. So in this church, we believe that women can be in the ministry. They can be faithful ministers of God. It's not about giving titles. It's not about giving responsibilities that they shouldn't have, or withholding the covering that they should have in the church. But don't let anybody intimidate you. It says be an example. We should be an example as a minister. Study and present the word. Expound, exhort, teach. Those are things that people in the ministry do. Operate in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Be completely committed. Don't just talk it, live it. Let the gospel change you and impact others. You know, when we talk about making disciples, we say that a disciple is a person who follows Jesus, a person who's continually being transformed or changed by Jesus, and a person that's on mission with Jesus. That's what the calling is about. And everybody has that calling. Everybody that's a believer is called to be a disciple. And everybody that's a disciple is called to be a disciple maker, because Jesus' last commission to us was to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe the things that Jesus commands us to teach them. So that's the responsibility of everybody. But when you're called to the ministry in this special way, to be one of the fivefold ministers, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, prophets, then there's an expectation of how you live, and that's what Paul just described in the scripture that I just read to you. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So Tanya has proved herself to be a worker through these 10 years that we've known her. She's grown into the areas that she's been ministering. She's done the homework. She's completed Time to Revive school. Revive School is a two-year program of biblical study courses that teaches through the Bible daily from Genesis to Revelation. Teaching and study are focused on seeing the complete portrait of the Messiah as depicted in all 66 books of the Bible. It's based on the example in Acts chapter 19 where Paul lectured in the hall of Tyrannus daily for 2 years, and all of Asia heard the message of the Lord. The ultimate goal of Revive School is for communities to be transformed by the Word of God. She's completed that training. I don't know if I know some people who have completed that training, but not too many do I know personally. But it's an amazing, amazing training program and very extensive. She's also completed Charis Healing University course, 52 weeks of extensive teaching, a multitude of topics on healing, as well as guided application of those teachings. These are designed to firmly root you in what the Word of God says about healing and to equip you to expect, experience, and empower. Now she's taken a class of people through those same training sessions to prepare for our healing center, which is already open, because the healing center is not about a building. It's about the people who are taking the gospel and ministering healing to people. So she's had countless hours of cell lessons and class preparations. She's been engaged in disciple making since she's almost since the beginning when she's been here. And she has disciple makers that are disciples that are making disciples, which is generational. So I like to refer it to as living in divine purpose. Ephesians chapter 4 says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. So living in divine purpose means pursuing a lifestyle that's aimed at the unity of faith, relationship with Jesus, and a growing maturity to be like him. The paper documents actually mean nothing compared to pursuing and fulfilling the calling from heaven that's on your life. Piece of paper doesn't make you anything, but only Jesus can make you what you are and what you're called to be. So I'm going to call Tanya back up here and the leadership, and we're going to pray over her and anoint her for this work of ministry that God has called her to. I didn't ask her how much oil she wanted, but I thought this bottle would be enough. So you can face me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize the calling that you have on Tanya's life. We thank you, Father God, for bringing this woman of God into our midst, Father God, for bringing her through the training and the calling that you have placed on her life, Father. We recognize that calling in the name of Jesus, Father. We anoint her for this task, Lord. And Father God, we ask you for impartation of your gifts and ministries to be imparted to her, Father God, is required by her calling and by the task that you have chosen her to do, Lord, in the ministry. We thank you, Father, that it's not about titles, names, or positions, Father, but it's about serving you, Lord, first of all, and doing the work of the ministry faithfully and cherishing you above everything. So thank you, Father, for the relationship that she and you have developed together. We bless her in the mighty name of Jesus. We cover her with the covering, Father, that only you can give. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would protect her, that you would bless her, Father God, that you would anoint her in special ways as she carries out the work of the ministry, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father God, for blessing her to be a blessing.
Thank you, Father, for our sister Tanya. Thank you, Lord, that you have given her the calling. You have given her, you have equipped her with every spiritual gift that she needs to carry out what you have called her to do. Oh, Lord, protect those gifts. Protect Tanya. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you that your joy wells up through her onto everyone that she ministers to. I praise you, Lord, that your giftings flow through her to others. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, Lord. With this ministry that you call her, Lord, we bless her, we cover her from this church, Lord, that wherever she go, you will be with her. If she go through the water, she will not drown. When she go through the fire, she will not burn. The Lord Jesus Christ will be with her. That she walk out of any circumstances, anything that the enemy try to trick her. Lord, she will be covered by this church, by your church, by your name. Thank you, Abba. Father, the blood of Jesus right now to cover her from head to toe. In the name of Jesus, nothing, any firing dart, any arrow will come to her. Will be squanched in the name of Jesus. I command every enemy shall be trembled when she comes near her. Shall not cause any trouble towards her. Her ministry will be shine. Will be give the glory to God. In the name of Jesus. She will be the light on the hill. In the name of Jesus. She will bring the light into the darkness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father, thank you, Lord. She will be rise up and stir every community. The fallen city, Lord, the community will rise up. Thank you, Lord Jesus, through her ministry. Thank you, Abba Father, everything that she touched through your hand, Lord, through her hand, will be life. In the name of Jesus, will be healed. In the name of Jesus, will be set free. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Abba Father. Give her the mighty power of yours, because you say we will be doing better through the Holy Spirit that dwell in us. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I just saw myself anointing your feet for the purpose to preach the gospel. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sister Tanya, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance toward you and give you his shalom peace. May the shalom peace of the Father be with you. Impartation in the name of Jesus. 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 Be blessed and highly favored.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we give you praise. We give you glory for raising up your servant. Oh, God. Oh, God, all of your work, all of your faithfulness in her life, God. It was you, God, that raised her. You raised her up off the sick bed, God. You've taught her your word. You've been walking with her, accompanying her every day, pouring in. And we thank you, God. We give you praise and glory that Tanya has said yes. Time and time again, through the hard decisions, through the hard things, she's yielded her heart. She's opened her heart and said yes. And she has soared with you, and she will continue to soar with you and the calling and the mission that you have. You are the Lion of Judah, and you have invited Tanya up on your back to grab hold of your mane and to ride. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for all that is to come. Power and authority, healing of the sick. We thank you, God, that people will rise out of wheelchairs, that people will rise up out of a sickbed of cancer or terminal illness. Thank you, God, for using this servant who has said yes and will continue to say yes every day and with every call that you place upon her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for anointing her for the task, for equipping her, for strengthening her, for giving her grace. Your love will carry her every day as you have. Thank you, Jesus. You're so proud of your daughter. You're so proud of your daughter. You have the approval of your daddy. Can you hug her like her dad? Her dad.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I just pray that the fire of your spirit burn in her deeper, deeper, deeper for the lost. Lord, that the fire of God, the fire of your spirit just flow into her and just burn in her. Burn in her, Holy Ghost. Burn in her for the lost. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, let that spread to others. Let that be communicated to others. That the fire of your spirit move and save the multitudes. Heal and deliver in Jesus' name. Thank you for Tanya. Lord, I agree. Continue to cover her in the blood of Jesus, yes. Her family, her household, everything to do with her. That Satan be bound, cannot come near, cannot hinder in any way. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Fulfill your will in her by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I just saw fire. I don't remember you said you know the word in Spanish, fuego.
Fuego.
Yes, Jesus. Fill her with fire in Jesus' name. Peace over her. She's a peace carrier. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You've given her the words to speak to people. You've given her just the way to speak to people, God. You will speak through her to people. Thank you, God, for fire over her in Jesus' name. Fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Fire, Jesus. Yes. Fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Your fire, God, for her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. So, Tanya, by virtue of the authority given us by the board of directors of My Father's House, Incorporated, we ordain you into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's celebrate.
Okay, my turn. I just want to say there's a couple of people. One is my dad couldn't be here today. So, Dad, thank you for giving me the love of Jesus as a little girl, all the way up talking faith with me. And I thank you for teaching me faithfulness, that it wasn't about going to church, but you showed me going every week was faithfulness. So I appreciate that very much. I love you. I love you. And then I also want to say thank you to my best friend, Joyce, back there. She's the one that took me to a Bible study that changed my life, right when I needed it the most, the armor of God. That's why I talk about the armor of God a lot. We need to know who we are in Christ so that we can grow and come to where we are today. I also thank Brenda Jank. She'll be watching later. She was very pivotal in my walk with Christ before and after. She ran the camp up at Camp Luther Haven, and the women's retreat there was very impactful to my life. So, and then all of you, at some point or another, probably ministered to about every single one of you. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for not going, oh my God, here she goes again. Although I know sometimes in your heart you might be, but it's okay. But I also want to release the fire of God over you. Because you just saw it come on me. So I release the fire over all of you, for every single one, that he burn in your heart, that he burn in your heart and bring you to a place of purity so that you may enter into that life like I have. It changes everything. He changes everything. All that was bad is good. All that was chaos is peace. It's crazy to find peace in this world today, but God can do it. The peace of God over you. The peace of God. Because he loves you. Amen. And I love you. I love you all, and I want you all to understand that. The peace of God can change every situation that you're in. Only he can do it. Joshua. Only he can do it. And so I just release that peace out over you. And what else, God? Oh, you know what? I like healing. So anybody have any body aches or pains, battling any kind of sickness, Jesus can do it. He will take that sickness away because he's already paid for it. It's already a done deal. And when you get that understanding in your faith and you start to walk with his thoughts, the pain has to go. It can't. It can't stay. Sin has been paid for. And the fruit of sin is sickness. So when you understand that you've given your life to Christ and the sin has been taken away, sickness cannot stay in your body. This is my calling, to speak over sickness and to command it to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. Okay? Grab a hold. It's a gift you must receive. I choose to receive healing in my body. I choose to let that sickness go. I choose to command it with all authority given to me by Jesus Christ. Command sickness to walk out that door. Every disease, every sickness, get out of this church now in Jesus' name. That's the fire of God. That's the Lion of Judah. And that's who he's called me to be when it comes to sickness. So go, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.